Interested in learning about wine, but not sure where to start? You're in the right place. Welcome to the Cork and Fizz Guide to Wine podcast. I'm your host, Haley Bowman, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm a wine enthusiast turned wine educator and founder of the Seattle-based wine tasting business, Cork and Fizz. It is my goal to build your confidence in wine by making it approachable and lots of fun. You can expect to learn everything from how to describe your favorite wine to what to pair with dinner tonight and so much more. Whether you're a casual wine sipper or a total cork dork like myself, this podcast is for you. So grab yourself a glass and let's dive in. Welcome back to the Guide to Wine podcast. I'm your host, Haley, and today we have another installment of my grape deep dive mini series. We're going to be talking about Chenin Blanc. And honestly, if you were going to ask me if there was only one style of wine that I could drink for the rest of my life, I would probably say Chenin Blanc. There's really nothing that this grape can't do. It can make really lovely high acid white wines, perfect for pairing with seafood. But at the same time, you could also make a full bodied, really oaky, rich white wine, perfect for sipping by the fire. It also makes incredible sparkling wines that, to me, rival the top champagnes. You've also got rich, delectable sweet wines that don't cost an arm and a leg. And I've even seen some great skin contact orange wines made from Chenin Blanc. And if you're curious what an orange wine is, be sure to listen to a previous episode that I did all about orange wine. Now, before we get into Chenin Blanc, I want to give you a quick reminder. If you are not on my mailing list yet, I would love for you to join. When you join, you will get a free shopping guide that has 15 of my favorite wines under $15. And I think I even have a Chenin Blanc on that list. So you're going to head to corkandfizz.com, scroll down to the bottom, and there'll be a little section where you can join the mailing list. I send out a weekly newsletter. It's filled with wine tips, recommendations, special offers, and so much more. And then be sure as well to let me know what varietals you'd like me to cover next after Chenin Blanc. All right, let's get into it. As always, I like to start with the history. It is believed that Chenin Blanc originated in the Anjou region of the Loire Valley in France back in the 9th century. Yeah, that would be the 800s, not the 1800s, the 800s. Ampelographers, which is basically just a fancy word for people who study grapevines, believe it could be the grape that was referenced in two royal land grants of Charles the Bald in 845, where it was stated that vineyards were growing on the left bank of the Loire River. Then it traveled to Touraine, another region in the Loire Valley in France, at the end of the 15th century. A man named Thomas Noyer purchased vineyard land around Chenonceau, is how I think it's pronounced, who knows, an area between Anjou and the Touraine. There were several grape varieties that were brought in to this area. They were from Burgundy, Jura, and you'll recognize Anjou. The grape from Anjou was called Plante d'Anjou, but we now believe this to be Chenin Blanc, because 20 years later, this same grape was planted in the nearby site known as Mont Chenin, and this is how the grape got its name. When it was planted in Mont Chenin, it was planted by a lord, so maybe that's why the name stuck a little bit more. From France, the grape was taken to South Africa. This region was established as a restocking station for food and provisions, as it was halfway between Europe and the spice-rich West Indies. The grape was most likely included among the vine cuttings sent to Jan van Riebeeck in the Cape Colony by the Dutch East India Company. They had tried vinifying the wild grapes that were here in South Africa, but they weren't really doing them any good, so they asked for vine cuttings from France, and so it was sent down with them. Chenin quickly became the most planted grape of the region, and it was known as Steen. It was used primarily for sherry-like products and brandy. And we'll talk more about South African Chenin later on in this podcast, because trust me, it has evolved a lot from just sherry and brandy. Diving a little deeper into Chenin Blanc, the grape itself, many people find Chenin Blanc to be similar to Chardonnay. And you're not wrong. There are a lot of similarities in the wine that ends up being produced from Chenin Blanc. But the grape itself is actually related to a different popular white grape, and that is Sauvignon Blanc. Both of these parents share Sauvignon, which is spelt like Savignon, and that's how I think I'm going to say it while we're on the podcast. Otherwise, it'll be confusing that it like sounds like Sauvignon Blanc. So both of these grapes share Savignon. I'm saying it wrong on purpose. Don't come for me. Savignon as a parent, making them either siblings or half-siblings, depending on who the other parent is. Apparently, we haven't figured that out yet. This also means, fun fact, that Chenin Blanc has an aunt-uncle relationship with Cabernet Sauvignon, since Cabernet Sauvignon is a child of Sauvignon Blanc and Cabernet Franc, which you may remember from our Cabernet Franc episode. Chenin Blanc does go by a couple other names, which we've kind of mentioned before, though they're not super popular anymore. So again, in South Africa, it was called Steen, S-T-E-E-N, for the longest time. This was back when the first vines were introduced to the Cape. This was in 1655. I think I forgot to say the year earlier. Early documents refer to three varieties. There was Grand Druif, this is Semillon. There was Franz Druif and Steen. And Steen is, of course, Chenin Blanc. Let's see here. The name itself, that Steen, came from the Dutch who settled in the Cape. They decoded Listan to Lastan, then Disteen, and finally Steen. This grape is also sometimes called Pinot de la Loire, mainly because it's the grape that comes from the Loire Valley. Chenin Blanc is a very unique grape in that it's adaptable and versatile. In terms of adaptability, it can grow in warm or cool climates. In warmer climates, you're going to get kind of what I call like a broader mouthfeel. It just kind of, I'm doing a hand motion right now and you obviously cannot see it. Well, maybe if I get this on video, but it basically just kind of like coats your mouth a little bit more. It feels a little bit, it's not as like zippy straight back as you have like an acidic, a very high acidic wine. You get that broader mouthfeel in warmer climates and then kind of more ripe melon apple flavors coming through. Whereas the cooler climates, you're going to have more of that zippy acidity. So like for me, that just means kind of like straight. It's a very like thin line in terms of mouthfeel. Lots of citrus and a little bit more of these kind of unique earthy notes to it. Great Chenin can be made using many different winemaking techniques. So these include stainless steel fermentation. So this is when instead of putting the wine or the grapes in oak barrels to ferment, you put them in stainless steel. And what this does is it often preserves the acidity and it also preserves a lot of the like delicate aromas. This is typically kind of the more floral aromas. You can also do an extended lees contact. And I'm trying to remember, I think I've mentioned lees a couple times on here. Lees are what we call dead yeast cells. So once the fermentation process ends, so once we have the yeast that eats up all the sugar, it's produced alcohol and carbon dioxide, the yeast dies and they become lees. And these lees typically are just kind of filtered out of the wine in the end. But if you have an extended lees contact, and especially if you mix the lees in with the wine, you end up with a richer mouthfeel, a little bit more fuller bodied wine. And it also does this without making the wine too heavy. And it adds somewhat of these kind of yeasty notes, like think fresh baked bread. Another style of winemaking technique that they can use is barrel aging. So this is basically like the opposite of that stainless steel fermentation. You're going for a little bit more flavor. You're going to get a smoothness to it because the barrels are porous. So more of the tannin can kind of evaporate out. You get a fuller bodied and more of those warmer fruit notes. The other cool thing about Chenin Blanc, which I referenced earlier about saying like this could be one of like if I had to only drink one wine forever, it'd be this. It's because it makes incredible sweet, dry, aka not sweet, and sparkling wines. And we'll talk a little bit more about each of these styles when we get to the specific wines later on in the episode. Now, when it comes to Chenin Blanc, there are two major challenges. The first is that it can bud early. So that's one of the first things. So during the winter, grapevines basically kind of look like they're dead. They're not dead, but they're like, think about it as like they're hibernating. And so one of the first steps to making the grapes is that the vines are going to bud and then they're going to flower. The problem is if the grapevines bud too early in the spring, they can be really susceptible to bad weather like hail. And so one hailstorm could wipe out an entire vintage because as soon as the bud is destroyed, no grape will grow there. So that's one challenge. And then not only does it bud early, but it also ripens fairly late. So you need to have good weather in the fall and you need to have a long enough growing season for the grapes to ripen enough. Because if they don't ripen enough, you're going to get overly acidic wine and nobody wants that. One thing that growers have done to try to help balance out this optimal ripeness and the acidity and sugars is that they will harvest their wine in tries. And these are basically multiple stages of pickings. So it could be across a 4 to 6 week period, and they could include anywhere between 3 to 6 passes through the vineyard. And so this means instead of going out and going and picking all your grapes and bringing them in, they go out multiple times at different times during that 4 to 6 week period to pick only the best grapes and only the best clusters. As you can imagine, this takes a very long time and it must be done by hand. So if you ever notice the cost of Chenin Blanc can be a little expensive, there might be a reason behind that. There's a lot of work that's put into it. One of the other challenges when it comes to Chenin Blanc, so besides budding early and ripening late, it is also very, very vigorous. And this is something that a lot of New World regions, that means anywhere besides Europe, took advantage of. They considered it a workhorse grape. They could produce a lot of wine from it because the grapes, the vines, if you just kind of let them grow, they will grow a lot of grapes. So yields, aka how much you can bring in off of the vines in the Loire Valley, they're limited to just 40 to 50 hectoliters of grapes per hectare. So that's about 3 tons per acre. In the Central Valley of California, they were very easily producing 3 times that. And in the most fertile soils of South Africa, it could be 5 times that. And the problem with these really high yields and letting the grape be super vigorous is that it's going to produce very bland wine. So to prevent this, vineyard managers need to keep the grapes in check. So a couple ways that they do this, they can graft the vines onto less vigorous rootstock, so to kind of encourage less growing of the grapes, or they will trim the grapes down over the season. So this is where they actually go out into the vineyard early on and they'll cut different clusters of grapes and just let them drop to the ground and not let them ripen all the way so that more of the flavor can go into the other grapes that they keep on the vine. Do you ever feel like you're stuck in a rut, doing the same old thing day in and day out? You wake up, go to work, come home, go to bed, and repeat. When life gets busy, it can be easy to fall into that routine and forget how important it is to prioritize joy and fun. But what if I told you there was a way to break out of that cycle? A way to bring more excitement and adventure into your life. And it involves one of the most wonderful things in the world, wine. Introducing my Court Crew Virtual Tasting Club. This is not your ordinary wine club. This is a community of people who are passionate about exploring new flavors, learning about different wine styles, and having fun along the way. Each month, we'll select 2 styles of wine to focus on. We'll taste them together virtually, all while learning more about the regions that the wines are from and the grapes that make the wine. You'll also have the opportunity to meet winemakers, sommeliers, and other wine professionals through our monthly community events. But it's not just about the wine. It's about breaking out of your routine, trying new things, and having a little fun. Imagine being able to impress your friends at your next dinner party with your newfound wine knowledge. Feeling confident when you walk into a wine shop, knowing exactly what to look for and what you'll enjoy. Imagine adding a little bit of excitement to your everyday life. So why not do something for you? Come join the Court Crew Virtual Tasting Club and start exploring the endless sea of discovery and joy that is the world of wine. Sign up at my website, corkandfizz.com/thecorkcrew. And don't forget to use code WINE101 to get your first month free. And now, back to the show. All right, now let's dive into some of the popular regions where Chenin Blanc is grown and what kind of wines to look for. This is also where I'm going to talk about those different styles, because each of these regions kind of produce different styles of wine, and then we'll talk about the flavors that come from those different styles. So starting off, we got to talk about France. This is where Chenin Blanc originated, and this is where a lot of people think of when you say Chenin Blanc. Most Chenin Blanc in France can be found in the Loire Valley, and specifically in the central Loire Valley. And if you remember from our French 101 episode not that long ago, the central Loire will be the Anjou-Saumur region and the Touraine region. Almost all of the Chenin Blancs in this region will be labeled by subregion and not by variety, unfortunately. So if you're like, I've never seen a Chenin Blanc from France, chances are you may have, it just wasn't labeled as Chenin Blanc because remember, France loves to label their wines by the region the wine is from and not by the grape itself. And each of these regions and within the subregions themselves, there can be a variety of styles ranging from dry, off-dry, means semi-sweet, sweet, and sparkling. So I'm going to give you some general tips on what to look for, but I'm also just going to give this like overall caveat. Wines from each of these subregions, the Chenin Blancs especially from each of these subregions, are going to differ based on the producer and based on the vintage, aka the year that the grapes were grown. Some years are better than others, and also some years, if the grapes don't ripen enough, the winemaker might choose to just make primarily dry and sparkling wine. But the next year, the grapes might ripen a ton and they'll be like, great, I'm going to make some off-dry and some sweet wine from this. So even between years from the same producer, the wine can change. So how do you know what you're getting? Just ask if you can. This is why I always recommend going to small wine shops when you're shopping for wine, because you can ask them, just pick up a bottle and be like, hey, dry or sweet Chenin Blanc, what should I expect? And they can help you with that. I've also used apps like Vivino before. You can take a picture of it. Just make sure that you're reading reviews for the right vintage of it. You could also try looking up on Google, but some of the French wines are a little harder to find. Okay, all that aside, just wanted to give you a heads up. This is hard, but it's so worth it. There are some really amazing Chenin Blancs from this area, so I don't wanted to like scare you away. You should definitely still try it. Just ask about it. So we're going to start with sweet Chenin Blanc. So if you ever had a Sauternes, this is a sweet wine from Bordeaux, but you don't love paying that super high price tag that often comes with Sauternes, seek out some sweet Chenin Blanc wines. And these are going to be from the regions of, and I actually looked up the pronunciation of these. Yes, you'll be so proud. So the first region is Coteau du Lion, and it's spelt like Coteaux de Lion. So you have Coteau du Lion, Bonzou, which this one looks nothing like Bonzou when you're looking at it. It's Bonnezeaux. So I'm basically learning that I definitely do not pronounce X's when I'm saying French regions. Okay, sorry, I got distracted. Going back, so your sweet Chenin Blancs are going to be from Coteau du Lion, Bonzou, and Cao de Chum, which looks like Quartz de Chamé. Yeah, hopefully that helps when I'm saying these out loud, that I say them how they're spelled too. These sweet wines are made using the same method as Sauternes, which is where the grapes are affected by botrytis, which the other term for that is noble rot. It's where mold grows on the grapes, causes these little pin-sized holes, water evaporates, and leaving behind raisins that have a good concentration of acidity and sugar. Those raisins, essentially they look like raisins, are pressed to get your wine. These sweeter styles of Chenin Blanc will have flavors of toasted almond, mango, ginger, mandarin orange, and dried persimmon. If you want a dry wine, essentially a not sweet wine, the most reliable region would be Sauvignère. These drier styles of Chenin Blanc are going to be more lean. They're going to be mineral style. So think of that like smell of wet rock. They're going to offer up flavors of tart pear. You're going to have some apple, ginger, and even chamomile tea. Other popular regions like Vouvray, Saumur, and Anjou, they can produce dry wine, but the problem is they can also produce off-dry and sweet wine. So like I said, it's always best to ask before buying or look on the bottle for the terms sec, S-E-C. This means it's going to be a dry wine. Demi-sec, D-E-M-I, sec, S-E-C, or classic means it's a semi-dry, but these often can be perceived as dry because they have such high acidity, right? There might be a little bit of sweetness left in there, but they're going to have quite a bit of acidity to balance that out. In terms of what this will taste like in off dry, you'll get a little bit richer flavors, so you'll have more of a ripe pear instead of tart. Still gonna have that ginger. We're gonna have a little bit more fruit, like passion fruit, and then you might even get this aroma and flavor of honey, but without the sugar. So don't think it's like overly sweet. Another term you might see is molu. This is spelled like M-O-E-L-L-E-U-X. This is gonna be a semi-sweet. So it's basically kind of a step up in the ladder in terms of sweetness. So we're getting there, but it's not overly sweet. And then finally, doux, D-O-U-X, is quite sweet. So similar to those dessert style wines. Like I said, these are the regions for Vouvray, Samur, and Anjou. Look for those terms. If you see sec written on any of those, Vouvray, Samur, and Anjou, you can trust that that'll be a dry style Chenin Blanc. There's also Cremant de Loire, which is usually made of a blend of Chenin Blanc, Chardonnay, and Cabernet Franc. This, even in and of itself, the Cremant can be made in dry, called Brut, to sweet styles demi-sec. So in this one, it gets a little confusing because sec doesn't mean dry when it's sparkling. I wish I could tell you some way of like why that is or how it happens, but just keep in mind, sec, dry, if it's a non-sparkling wine, means it's not sweet. Sec, when it comes to a sparkling wine, it means it's somewhat sweet. All right. When in with a sparkling wine, you're looking for Brut, B-R-U-T. And these sparkling wines are going to give flavors. You're still going to get that really nice yellow apple. The ginger floral notes are going to come through a lot more, but you might get a little bit of a yeastier, bready note on these as well. All right. That is the Loire Valley area in terms of Chenin Blanc. Really great. That's going to be your go-to if you want to try an old world style of Chenin Blanc. You can also find Chenin Blanc in southern France, specifically in the Languedoc. It's used to make Cremant de Lemoux, which is another style of sparkling wine, and it's also used in some white wine blends there. Next, moving on to South Africa. Believe it or not, South Africa has more plantings of Chenin Blanc than France. And actually, I think it's like over two times the plantings. It's like 20% of all vineyards in South Africa are planted with Chenin Blanc. And yeah, that's for all vineyards, not just white, white grape vineyards. Of course, we know for the longest time, it was used more as a blending grape. It was used to make that sherry-like product or brandy. It was also blended with Chardonnay to meet the demand from the US and the UK for a cheap white wine. Luckily, that's starting to change. And one of the benefits of Chenin being planted so early here when it was brought down was that there are actually some very old vines. And these vines are trained in what's called a bush vine style. They have a short trunk and a regular top. The leaves help shade the fruit and they get good ventilation. This is perfect for hot, dry climates. And then the roots can reach up to 20 meters deep for resources. The only problem is you can't do a mechanical harvest with this, so all hand harvesting again. Older vines have a natural lower yield of grapes, so that means a higher concentration of flavor in the grapes. Now, when it comes for what regions to look for Chenin Blanc from in South Africa, I would point towards Swartland and Citrusdal. Top producers include Oldenburg, Beaumont, and Mulderbosch. In terms of the styles they make here, I found that most South African Chenin tends to be in the off-dry, so that semi-sweet style, or the dry style. Tends to be a little bit heavier in the fruit, so you're going to get more of that passion fruit, tropical fruit flavor, also the tree fruit, instead of kind of the earthy note. I guess I didn't mention it too much. I would say the one thing about Loire Valley Chenin Blanc that you might be a little surprised by is there's going to be a little bit more of the earthy notes of like, think like fresh hay, like if you're on a farm, that can be a common aroma in a Loire Valley one. You're not going to get that in South Africa for the most part. Next, moving on to the US of A, I feel like Chenin Blanc has gotten a bad rep here in the US again because it was used to make so many cheap white wines, especially from grapes planted in the Central Valley of California on those really fertile soils. However, I am here to say there are some really incredible Chenin Blancs being made now across the US. So starting in California, there is a little bit of Chenin Blanc planted in Napa Valley, and I'm going to point you to Lola Wines. Lola, I have to tell you, when I told my husband I was doing a podcast on Chenin Blanc, his first words were, "Oh, are you going to talk about that Lola Chenin?" So I'm telling you, this wine has made a lasting impression on him and me as well. It's definitely one of like the best Chenin Blancs, if not like just the best, one of the best wines I've ever had. The vines themselves are nearly half a century old. They're planted next to the Ravenna and Grace family vineyards just north of the town of St. Helena. And it was interesting. After I tried this wine, I asked, you know, them. We were doing a tasting there when we were visiting in Napa, and we got to talk to the winemaker's wife. And I was like, this is amazing. Why are there not more wineries making Chenin Blanc here in Napa? And, you know, the sad answer is that it doesn't come with as high of a price tag, or you can't sell it for as much as you can a Cabernet Sauvignon. And the grapes themselves, they take up just as much land, right, as Cabernet Sauvignon does, whatever you choose to plant. And the land costs a lot. So to pay for the land, a lot of times they can't leave these lower cost, less popular grapes behind. So I think we need to start, an uprising here of Chenin Blanc. So keep asking for it, keep trying it. Maybe it can become one of the top grapes again. So like I said, Lola Wines, check it out in Napa Valley. Their tasting room is amazing if you ever get a chance to stop. It's just this cute little tasting room in Calistoga. Really, really nice. Okay, another great California Chenin Blanc comes from Final Girl, which, if you remember, we did an interview with the winemaker there. Really wonderful. It's got this perfect balance of bright acidity, but with like a medium to full body. Anna always does it a little differently each year, kind of depending on what the grapes are like coming in, which I think is a good sign for a great wine, right? You're not just doing the same thing every single time. You're listening to the grapes and figuring out what they need. And these grapes come from Santa Barbara, so it's a little bit of a cooler climate. The 2021 that she did, which I think may have sold out by now, but keep an eye out for the next vintage. She did this 50% stainless steel, 50% neutral French oak. So again, a really nice balance. Okay, heading out of California, there are also some great Chenin Blancs being made in Washington State. Some of my favorites come from Lobo Hills, Kiona, and Cedar Green Cellars. I actually had a really exciting experience with Cedar Green when I did a day retreat recently there. They have a tasting room in Woodinville. It's about like a half hour drive from Seattle where I live. And so I've been hosting little mini day retreats there. We would just kind of walk around to different tasting rooms. And I've been to Cedar Green a couple times on these day retreats. And one of the times they offered us a side-by-side tasting of a Chenin Blanc from 2015 and a Chenin Blanc from 2021. And what was really cool was not only was there that vintage difference, right, the 6 years of age, but that 2015 was done in a very rich oaked style. And then the 2021 was the more fresh, acidic, I think they did stainless steel or concrete. And again, this had to do with what the grapes were like when they came in. And so the winemaker tasted them and decided what would be best for each of the wines. And I got to tell you, both of the wines were great. I went home with a bottle of each, the 2015 and the 2021. So that was Cedar Green Cellars. Definitely check it out. Lastly, for the US, I'm going to highlight the Texas High Plains. Not really a place you think of for making wine, but I just had a really lovely conversation with a winemaker down in Texas. It was for Lost Draw Cellar, so it was a Q&A with my court crew, but I think I might feature it in a future podcast episode. But I learned a lot about making wine and growing grapes in the High Plains, and it makes sense that Chenin Blanc actually does really well here, because in Texas, they need grapes that will keep their naturally high acidity, and that won't let that be cooked out from the heat, because they do get a lot of heat. The other nice thing is with that warmth, it encourages the Chenin Blanc to ripen a little faster, which is good. I don't have any names of that. Lost Draw Cellars isn't making Chenin Blanc yet, but I don't know. Maybe we'll see it. Maybe we'll see it someday. But I haven't tried a lot of Texas wine yet, so I don't have any to recommend to you right now, but definitely keep a lookout for it. Other regions that are growing Chenin Blanc include Australia, New Zealand, and Argentina. Still kind of getting a start, so it's worth giving them a try. They're still kind of new to the Chenin Blanc game. Okay, that's everything that I have on Chenin Blanc. I hope after listening to this talk, you are as excited as I am to go drink some Chenin Blanc. It's going to be really wonderful. Oh, you know, before we end, let me talk to you a little bit about food pairings, because I mean, when I drink wine, I like to have some food with it. So the nice thing about Chenin Blanc is it has this really awesome acidity, but it also has this like inherently somewhat sweet flavor. And that comes from like that, remember when I mentioned it has like the aroma and flavor of honey, but without the sugar? So it's really nice is that you can pair it with some dishes that have that hint of sweetness to them. It's also a perfect Thanksgiving wine, in my opinion. I think it goes really well with your roasted turkey, no matter how dry it gets. I'm talking about the turkey here. Sometimes that turkey dinner doesn't work pretty well or doesn't go as well as you were hoping. But that little bit of sweetness or that little hint of sweetness can work really well with the cranberry sauce that you put on the turkey. And of course, the sweeter your Chenin Blanc gets, the sweeter your food can get. Also means it can stand up to really spicy dishes as well. So you want to put that sweet Chenin with a little bit more spicy notes to it. I also feel like Chenin Blanc is like the perfect fall wine. I often like to pair it with butternut squash soup. I recently saw a recipe on Instagram where it was like an autumn pizza, and she made on a pizza crust, she put like pumpkin, pureed pumpkin down instead of tomato sauce, and then like mozzarella and rosemary and butternut squash, and I think some sage as well. That like pizza to me is screaming that it wants Chenin Blanc, and I think I'm going to have to make it next week. But yeah, it works really well. Most cheeses work really lovely with it. You can go with something that's, you know, a little bit, what do I want to say? Like a little bit more flavorful, like a cheddar, but it can also work with like a triple cream brie or a gruyere or even cream cheese or goat cheese. Okay, basically I think Chenin Blanc pairs with a lot of things. Okay, go out, go try some Chenin Blanc. Let me know what you think. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Cork and Fizz Guide to Wine podcast. Be sure to let me know what other grape varieties you'd like me to talk about. You can let me know on Instagram, follow me at Cork and Fizz, or send me an email, haley@corkandfizz.com. If you loved this episode as much as I did, I'd love it if you could take a quick second to rate it and leave a review. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on this new website I'm checking out called Podchaser. And don't forget to subscribe or follow or whatever it's called on the app that you're listening so you never miss an episode. I release new episodes every Wednesday. In next week's episode, I'll be having a conversation with Molly Ring, the owner of Molly's Bottle Shop here in Seattle. This bottle shop specializes in natural wine, so I'm very excited to talk to Molly all about natural wine, what it means, what it doesn't mean, and maybe dispelling a few myths along the way. So I hope you will join me for that. Thanks again for listening. As a thank you, I'd like to share my free shopping guide, 15 Wines Under $15. Simply head to my website, corkandfizz.com, scroll down to the bottom and join my mailing list. You will be sent a welcome email with that guide attached to it. Cheers!